Let us continue in prayer. This morning we have prayer quilts. We will tie knots and wrap them tangibly in a sign of God's love and the love and prayers of this congregation. If following the service you would pause for a moment at the table behind the glass doors to tie a knot and to offer a prayer, sign their cards. I know that these two ladies will appreciate and be touched by these quilts. Let us pray. God of us all, in this Advent season, you call us to slow down. And just in case we miss the message, you send weather that causes us to slow down. And so let us pause this morning to sense your presence, to sense the nearness of this great gift that we celebrate. Let us be reminded of all that this gift offers to us, that Jesus comes to be with us in a way that has never been before. Let us open our hearts to the freedom that Christ offers. Let us open our hearts to the love and to the care that God shows us and that he calls us, sends us out to share with others. As we travel about this world, we see that there are those in need of your love in ways that are great. And so we ask that your Spirit might abide in those places of darkness, in those places of hunger and thirst, in the quietness of homes, in the busyness of shopping malls, in all the places that your people gather, may your Spirit be present. Lord, we are thankful for those who serve us in these difficult times, for first responders, for those who offer their aid in times of trouble. And especially, Lord, we thank you for the aid that you offer, the listening ear, the gentle presence. Hear us now as we offer to you those things that we hold in our hearts, that once again we may lean into your everlasting arms. Gracious God, with deep gratitude, we open our arms and prepare our hearts and homes to welcome this gift. Let us echo now the words that have come down through the centuries as we offer to you the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture lesson is from the book of Matthew, chapters 1, verses 18 through 23. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the listening ears of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A baby's coming. God's Son, Emmanuel, Jesus is God with us. Today's reading from Matthew, it's not the scene we've come to know and love. There's no stable, no bands of cloths, no shepherds in the field, no cattle lowing, and no little drummer boy. Thank the Lord. There's only Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. Actually, the three wise men do show up in chapter 2. You can follow the story there. But it's easy to see why the movies and the cartoons all use the story from Luke when they tell the story of Christ's birth. This Advent, the sermon series we're doing and our studies are following George Acevedo's book, Sent, Delivering the Gift of Hope at Christmas. The first 2 weeks, Pastor Sherry spoke about Jesus reconciles and Jesus sets us free. Now, if you missed either of those, you can listen to them as podcasts at our website, www.brightonfumc.org. Joseph was the key player. This included being connected to the line of David, all the way back to Adam. If you look at the first part of chapter 1, you'll see the lineage. But then Matthew moves really quickly. Mary's pregnancy, Joseph's initial reaction, the angel coming to him in a dream, the birth and naming of Jesus. Matthew also connects Jesus' birth to the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. From Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Now, I've always wondered why there's two spellings for Emmanuel. And if you've been wondering too, I'm going to tell you why. The I, Emmanuel, is from Hebrews. It's from the Hebrew, Emmanuel, and it is referenced in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and chapter 8, verse 8. Emmanuel, with the E, is from the Greek. And that's in Matthew 1:23, which was read today, quoting the Isaiah scripture. So there you go. So let's go back to Joseph, though. Matthew tells us he was faithful to the law. So we know that about him. We don't know his age, though, and we really don't know much more about him. He's mentioned in Matthew and Luke with respect to the events surrounding Jesus' birth, their escape to Egypt, and their eventual return to Galilee. The only other time that he's even part of the action is in Luke chapter 2. And this is where they leave Jesus behind. He's in the temple. And he's 12 years old at that point, Jesus is. And perhaps one of the most interesting items to note, the Bible doesn't have record of Joseph saying anything. He never utters a word. At first, Joseph is going to quietly divorce Mary when he finds out she's pregnant. That all changed when an angel came to him in a dream and told him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And there it is again. Do not be afraid. All right, a quick factoid. You can Google this. That's what I did. Do not be afraid, or some variation thereof, is recorded 365 times in the Bible. So that's one for every day of the year, so you could just go through the whole cycle. Now Joseph, who's a righteous man who's following the law, he wasn't afraid. He did what was asked of him. He didn't send Mary away, and he named the child Jesus. Now Joseph may not speak in the Bible, but his actions speak volumes. He saw that God needed him, that he was with him where he was, a faithful follower of God. God chose Joseph to be Jesus' earthly father. Joseph adopted Jesus as his son. Now, you want to talk about taking on a big responsibility, and yet Joseph accepted it without question. Fortunately, unfortunately, we don't know what happened to Joseph. We don't know when he died. We don't know if he was alive to experience Jesus' ministry or if he was there at Jesus' death and resurrection. What we do know is that others viewed him as Jesus' father. He's mentioned twice in the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And in John 6, 42, they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" And so, other than that, Joseph is not part of the story. Now, if you're in the medical field or have been a patient, you might be familiar with this chart. It gives a numeric scale for pain level. Now, this works well if your pain is physical. If you've recently had, you know, some sort of a surgery, you might be 7, 8, or 9 as you're recovering. But what if the pain isn't physical? Now, you could probably still use the scale. And I really do wish I had known about this scale growing up. You see, my parents divorced when I was 4 years old, and we lived with my mom. I had minimal connection with my dad, but when I did, it wasn't good. He remarried shortly after the divorce, and he always seemed angry when we were around, almost like we were interrupting his life. If I had to put a number on it, I would say my hurt was at a 6 or 7, and that was for most of my childhood. Now, understand, I loved my mom and I loved my dad. That doesn't mean it didn't hurt. And the holidays, especially Christmas, were the worst. I had a hard time seeing that Jesus was God with us. For me, it was just a mess. We went back and forth between mom and dad's houses. It just wasn't a joyous time. And the pain really was compounded. And you know why? Because at Christmas, you're supposed to be happy. I mean, it's Christmas. Come on. But it didn't stop when I was older and got married. I dreaded the holidays. I had it in my head that I would feel the same way as I did growing up. Now, it took a few years, but things changed. The pain lessened, and I moved back down the chart. And after experiencing the joy of Christmas year after year, surrounded by family, going between houses because we wanted to, not because we had to, making our own traditions, I now look forward with excitement to the busyness of the Advent season and preparing for the coming of Christ. When you're waiting in the emergency room, worried and scared, the prayers can come like a flood. We cry out for Jesus, God with us. Sometimes the result is an antibiotic, a stitch or two, maybe a cast. When the diagnosis is worse, and we are uncertain what will happen next, we're scared. Justin LaRosa shares the story of his newborn son, Russell, who was born at 30 weeks, weighing just 2 pounds, 8 ounces. His wife, Caroline, experienced high blood pressure after the delivery and couldn't visit Russell for 2 days. When Justin first went to see his son, he tells us, "The constant ringing of bells and alarms reminded me of a casino with its flashing lights, hustle and bustle, and constant noise. It was noisy, chaotic, and in a constant state of activity and motion." He talks about his wife removing the blanket that was covering the incubator, a blanket for them that was another signpost from God. The blanket was actually knitted with prayer and love by a group of women from a nearby church. And he calls what they did a quilting ministry. Now every Sunday here at Brighton First, we'll find quilts that have been made with love and prayer. Anywhere from 2 like we have today, sometimes there's 1, but we've had up to 5 or 6 at one time. These are presented to people, as Loretta said, in need of prayer. It may be for an upcoming surgery, a battle with cancer, a struggling newborn like Russell LaRosa. These quilts are a tangible representation of God with us. With the prayers of this congregation and many other, they spread around the world. So when you tie your knots this morning, remember, you're not just tying a knot. You are part of Jesus being God with us. Jesus is God with us when we're waiting. Jesus' earthly Father, he decided quickly to accept the responsibility of raising Emmanuel after being told in a dream to do so. Quick decision for the right reasons, and he adopted Jesus. Now, what I understand is, in reality, adoption is much more of a waiting game. In 2011, Stuart Sharp and his wife Lauren decided to begin the adoption process. Now, some of you may know Stuart. Hi, Sharps. He's a firefighter in Indiana, but he's also a child of this congregation. And he was actually in high school Sunday school when I was teaching it back in the 90s and early 2000s. Stuart told me that the hardest part was making the decision to begin the process. Once they decided to move forward, the excitement began, and so did the waiting. It took them 6 months to get on the list. They were slowed down by legal issues, money, and the paperwork. Once you're on the list, you're told it can take 18 to 24 months before you're going to be able to adopt. Now, I want you to think about that. Elephants have a gestation period of 640 days. So the Sharps were told they were going to have to wait that long. So they went from excitement to down in the dumps. What they were told, though, is when you fill out the form, you can be as specific as you want. Well, they knew they wanted 2 children, preferably siblings, if possible. They left the rest open, hoping that that would make things go more quickly. And it worked. Their hope was rewarded. 4 months after submitting their request, they were informed that there were 2 siblings in Russia, a boy and a girl, waiting for adoption. Excitement again. Easy to see that Jesus is God with us at that point. What they learned, though, is they had to act quickly because the boy, Alex, was 3.5 years old. And at 4 years old, he would be moved out of the system and separated from his sister, Grace. This is a picture of Stuart, Lauren, Alex, and Grace at the orphanage just a few days before the adoption. Now, I'm giving you the Cliff Notes version here. Stuart and I were on the phone for 45 minutes, and I have more than 3 pages of notes, and you don't want me to go over all of it. But what I am going to tell you is that they had to take 2 trips to Russia, with the second being 1 month long. More lawyers and more paperwork. Always more paperwork. Now, one hurdle they had to overcome was their ages. They were 26 and 24 at the time. And apparently, you have to be 25 years old to rent a car or to adopt. So after spending time with Alex and Grace, more paperwork, they're getting closer. The last step is a 14-day waiting period where any relative of those children can come forward and claim them. Stuart told me it was terrifying, like being at the top of a roller coaster and never knowing if you will go down the other side. Stuart and Lauren visited every day during that 14-day wait. And then Stuart's dad, Jeff, right over here, flew over, and finally they could see the finish line. He was going to help them out bringing home the kids. More paperwork, again, more paperwork. They had to get passports. They had to register with the Russian consulate of whatever. They're there. Almost. They were told there was one more form to process before they could leave the country the next week. I asked Stuart, what was the form? He doesn't even remember. They were broken. They were just exhausted. How can you see God with us when the waiting seems endless? By remembering that God is there and will still be there. And Lauren asked a simple question out of this pain and wait. Isn't there anything we can do so we can go home tomorrow? Now their guide, who had been with them through this whole process, said, well, do you have $100? $100 for both, $100 for each kid. Well, the answer was yes, of course they did. Okay. They met with a different person in a park, gave this person the money, and 45 minutes later, he returned with the completed form, and they were able to go home. Jesus is God with us in times of joy. I asked Stuart, what kept you going during this process? And what he told me is he felt it was meant to be. He told me that there has to be a reason that Alex and Grace are their children, although he's not sure what that reason is yet. He also shared that he wishes there was a guidebook to show the way. And then Stuart told me how they make their parenting decisions. And what they do is they ask this question: what is the best way to get Alex and Grace to the life they deserve? I know that Stuart and Lauren know the way to go, guidebook or not. Jesus is with us in times of joy. Where do you see Jesus as God with us in times of joy? For me, this year, I saw it when my 2 oldest grandchildren, Luke and Allie, wanted to be part of the Young People's Worship Arts Christmas program. To see the smile on Luke's face when he told me he wasn't just a sheep, he was the head sheep. Now, the joy hasn't left me. I'm so looking forward to this afternoon, coming to the program at 4 p.m. right here. And, you know, come with me and see Jesus as God with us in the joy of these young people. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And not just as a baby adopted by his earthly father, always. From Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus is with the disciples after his resurrection, and he tells them, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." As you are experiencing life this Advent, wherever you find yourself, in joy, in waiting, in uncertainty and fear, in pain, I want you to stop. Take a good look around and know that Jesus is God with us. It may take the form of someone offering you comfort, maybe a mentor guiding you, maybe a friend waiting with you. Take that time to say a prayer and let that person know that you recognize that they are Jesus, God with us, and that you see it in them. And don't be surprised if others see the same thing in you. You are God with us. Redeemer God, Comforter Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, we know you by many names, and we cry out to you using those names. We are in pain, waiting, joyful, uncertain and fearful. You accept us where we are and love us. We are preparing for your arrival. Help us to remember that you are always with us to the very end of the age. Amen.